You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You don't know this, but this is a bit of a watershed. Musselman and I have worked out all the details of this, and he joins us now from Texas, and it all works. It works beautifully. So, Musselman, what are you doing? What's going on? Oh, my God. He forgot to unmute his microphone.
Why did you hear you talking until just now? Don't be doing this stuff, man. You're setting me up. I feel like you're setting me up.
I know you were talking. All of a sudden you looked down and you went, oh!
No, I heard this. Like, what the hell is that sound? And then all of a sudden you come up, oh, my God. Please.
Oh, what a coincidence. Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Federal response around Hurricane Florence, I think, is pretty cool. I think we learned something from Katrina when you had active duty guys sitting there saying, why can't we help those people? We could probably...
Wait a second. So, what's this hurricane that just hit the East Coast?
Florence is okay. Impacted.
It hit the coast as a Category 1, right?
I know.
The only big damage it's doing is the storm surge, right?
Well, all the anchors that are running out in 80-mile-an-hour winds, one of those is likely to get clocked. But other than that, storm surge and 100 miles an hour wind will do some damage, but as we both know, they've lived through these before in the Carolinas.
Yeah. And most of their homes have now, I mean, a Category 1 should do much more than just break up the gutters and maybe pull off a couple shingles.
Yeah, there was reports that roofs were flying off of homes.
Yeah,
under,
right.
Wait, listen, homes under construction. Right? Oh, so you mean plywood that's nailed to 2x4s and that's it is flying off?
I like yes. That. Roofs are flying off homes. And then little small parentheses, homes that are under construction.
And only on the side that's facing to the west. The east side, that's fine. But the west side, the west side is gone.
Right.
Okay, look, that's not going to do anything for our viewership. Yeah. So can we dial this up a little bit?
This is the hype, though, man. I mean, yeah.
Oh my God!
So
that's a joke.
You know, when you watch the even, you know, having a discussion with the lady that lives in here, because she got all pissed off at me. I said the same thing. I'm like, oh, what happened to your hurricane? She's like, you know. Because, I mean, she was, like, pumping it all up. Like, oh, my gosh, do we have friends there? We all have friends on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, they're evacuating and everything else. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's just a heavy rainstorm.
No, let me tell you. But I want to talk about the federal response before we do that, I just make this comment. At Camp Lejeune, they decided that they would not, hey, don't dance there. They decided that they would not evacuate the base. And if you looked at social media comments on Twitter about it.
Oh.
And I thought, here we go.
Yep.
Just furthering the argument for mass extinction.
I'm telling you, you guys don't believe me, but now you're becoming a believer, Mac.
Stop with the comments, okay? Just stop.
You are becoming a believer. I like it.
Stop. Like the gum. But again, no, but you know what I like? I think anybody who watched Katrina, you just like, oh, my God. And then when you've been in Operations Center and you know that Louisiana's got not only a county and a state emergency operations center, they're watching the same video. we can't get somebody to sling load MREs in water and take it down to the Superdome for days? Like, what is going on? And then you have units in I remember being at Pendleton. It's like, we could fly in adjacent. We could fly in our helicopters. We don't need any support for anybody, right? And we can do this in the next 24 hours. Just somebody tell us to go. Call MLG. Send them to send the MREs on pallets over here. We'll put them into a 130. We'll fly the helicopters over there, and we'll fly the C-130, and boom, done. Sorry, our request hasn't been – our assistance hasn't been requested. Oh, okay, I guess. So, no, but they have the Kearsarge and another ship, amphibious ship, on the periphery as the storm moves in. And so, and I think it's great that the storm has dwindled, but I want to give the appropriate marks to the DOD for putting units on alert on the edge of the storm, ready to go in there and do the things that the guard can't do. It takes a guard about 96 hours to finally get in there, because normally they're dealing with family stuff, and then they got to report, and they got to do all their stuff. Active duty units are uniquely suited, and they should only be there for less than a week, and then they should go back home as the guard does their thing. So, but they planned it so much better, and I just wanted to make that point. So, there you have it.
Right.
There you have it.
Good.
I wanted to – there's a couple stories.
Hey, did you read your email just now?
No.
Look at your email.
Why?
Just look at your email. Quit asking me questions.
You're a recruit?
Yeah, I am. I am now. We all are at one point of our life, and I like it. You know, so. Are you going to tell a story? You going
to
tell what?
Let me read. This is entitled "Fortunate to Have Mike as a Recruit in the COPs."
Citizens on Patrol.
Okay, Mac, and then in parentheses, I respect Mike's privacy. Please touch bases with him first about this email. Okay, so I just received this, so it's okay if I read this?
Yeah, I told him because he said the same thing. He goes, "I hope I don't overstep my boundary," and I'm like, "I don't have any boundaries, right? You know that."
Yeah, if you're waiting
where's Gunner's boundaries? I haven't found him yet. Christopher Columbus is still out searching the world.
No, first of all, who cares? He doesn't respect anybody else's boundaries. Why would we respect his?
Wait, you're talking about me?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm just
talking. I'm being shamed here? Okay, go ahead.
No.
First of all, you gotta give a shit what they think about you. Right? That's key you want. That itself, my friends, when you don't care what other people think about you.
Exactly.
I mean, because like I said before, hey, and I told you this. I actually said this to another Marine one day. I say, I see the problem here. You and me, you thought that me and you were friends. I understand. Now I understand. Let me clarify something. We are not friends. We are nothing but acquaintances. Like business people working together for a common goal. If I have an opening for friends, I will let you know. But the line is pretty long, and most people leave the line. And I haven't accepted one of those friends in a very long time. So you're an asshole. See, that's why you're not one of my friends. So I don't care.
And the fact that you may be factually correct doesn't change the point that we're not friends. Okay.
Right.
So, yeah. So anyway. All right.
Okay. So go ahead.
Mel, here's the email.
Yes.
A citizen on patrol.
Yes.
Is this like a fancy name for vigilantes?
No. That's not what we're about. I like that though, but we're not. No.
We're gonna change it from COP to VOP.
No, okay. Mac. Don't stay in a good program. Jeez.
Oh, Mac, don't stain it. Just read it like it got sent to you. Okay. That's what I'll do.
I didn't send it to you.
Okay.
This ain't a setup.
It sounds like a setup. Hey, did you check your email? No, why? What?
But, no, because I just got it.
Oh, okay.
I just got it myself.
All right. Imagine having the gunner, if I may, in a non-confrontational organization.
Okay. That's pretty hard to think of.
No.
But go ahead.
First of all, if you think that he's going to be in it and it's not going to be confrontational, then you've just deluded yourself, okay? Because he wouldn't be in it if it was non-confrontational.
I am a non-confrontational guy.
I know you are. I know.
Why can't you?
I know, except when there's a confrontation. Then what happens?
Oh, if there ever is a confrontation, like if one of these guys that I'm with, we get attacked or anything by somebody, game on, baby.
Okay.
Game on.
Okay, so this non-confrontational / confrontational vigilante organization, is that an oxymoron when I use Mike Musselman? And in parentheses, gunner and non-confrontational in the same sentence, it's really not unless you know him. And then it's not only an oxymoron, it's a complete fallacy, okay? So this is the proverbial wolf in sheep's clothing. Nothing to see here. Candygram, right? This is an all-volunteer group made up of citizens that live in Granbury / Hood County. I had no idea when I first met Mike of the extensive background of this man. Listening to your podcast and the Mike and Mike portion of your show has been educational on many levels. Many levels. Great revealing stories that can bring tears to your eyes, from the heartfelt sadness of trauma, amazing interview with your sister Peggy, to some of the most hilarious discussions from the otherwise mundane pastimes in life. By the way, you killed me with your Mickey Mouse voice about the underworld of Disneyland. See, you know what? People love the Mickey Mouse voice in spite of you, right?
Yeah.
Mike is currently a recruit with cops. Imagine me, a civilian, training Mike in anything. Just so you know, you're being led down. We have this song we sing in the Marine Corps. I lured him in with a piece of bread, and then I crushed his fucking head. Okay, I don't want to say you're being lured in, but you're being lured in, okay?
No.
How do I know he's lying? Because his lips are moving. Oh. I am the staff sergeant over training, not for long, and appointed position by the captain of cops. He's short for his job, too. Mostly procedures on how to be non-confrontational. That's going to change shortly as well. And proper use of radio communications with county dispatch. That probably Mike could use. We all go through training put on by many of the police officers of the Granbury Police Department. I've attached a few photos from our field training procedures and scenarios. Mike was driving our Tahoe performing the banking exercise at the academy. At the academy. I believe that Mike brings, quote, lethality to our program, unquote, in the form of his knowledge and abilities to step up our tactics. Wait a minute. Why does a non-confrontational organization need lethality? Interesting.
No, it's not. See, remember we talked, he didn't learn anything. Lethality is not about killing things.
I didn't use the term. Your commanding officer did. I mean, your opso did. So stow it, okay? I actually reviewed the podcast in the hopes that I don't screw up the gunner's definition. Hope he approves. Okay, first of all, even the thought that you're worried about what he thinks, okay, shows weakness, okay? And you need to put a helmet on.
Oh, you're in a rare form today.
You need to put your helmet on because you are being lured in and the mighty blow to your head is about to hit you. Okay, so anyway, I personally join Citizen on Patrol to give back to my community and do what I can to assist the wonderful men and women of the police department. Since I was directed to your show by the gunner several weeks ago, see, that's how it all starts, I have been listening to your podcast in an effort to learn more about the fine men and women that serve our country. I have made it through about 25 podcasts to date and now listen daily from my desk at work. Mac, hats off and my personal thanks for a great show, great radio voice for sure. You know what's interesting is I hate my voice. I hear it and I like click. Turn that shit off.
Me too. It drives me up the wall. Go ahead.
And a well-organized website. I like my website. The talks about trauma and stress relate to some civilians in my life as well as I am learning valuable lessons. God bless you and all the fine men and women that serve our country. And then in parentheses, I hope I don't piss Gunner off. Do not worry about that, okay? Do not worry about that. I have to ride out on patrol with him in a couple of weeks. I will miss a portion of Mike and Mike today. I have a meeting at 11:30. Okay, that's a problem, because if you're not around to defend yourself, and here's a picture of Mike wearing his some kind of green T-shirt, looking in the back of a vehicle. I think it's at food. Was this when they delivered the powdered donuts to you guys, or what?
No, we were going through, like, everything that's carried in the back.
Oh, okay. All right. And then the cones. Here's Mike at the helm of a SUV, Citizens on Patrol at Granbury, In God We Trust. Nice vehicle.
Yeah, it's nice. Police car.
Police car.
It's
a nice one. And he's doing the backing movement. Tell us about the backing movement there, candidate.
It's not candidate.
It's recruit.
Just a backing movement.
When I say eyeballs, you say snap. You got it? Because you're a recruit, and I expect you to act like one. Hey, George, that's how we do it, okay?
The difference is, I know where you live, and I will come out there. You know what? I'm telling you, you don't want to start living a life where you're taking a mirror underneath your car every day, Mac. Don't push it.
So George, first of all, don't put me in a place where I don't want to be. I'm a nice guy now. He can take a lot of abuse. He, like the Islamic State, will mistake your kindness and restraint for weakness. Do not show any. Okay, no. Now, the difference is recruit. What you were saying? They're friends.
Yes. See, friends get away with a lot. Like right now. See, this is going on right now because you're lucky. Like I said, we're friends, and I'm running that through my head. We're friends. And he knows not what he does, so forgive him. What? Because he does not know.
Let me tell you what a fun day in Iraq. So Mike comes rolling in, and you can tell he's got something on his mind or he's pissed. Hey, where are you going? Hey, I don't have time to talk to you. Why not? Hey, I don't have time. Where's so-and-so? I don't know. What are you mad about? I'm not mad. Did I say I was mad? No, you didn't say you're mad, but what are you? Hey, don't screw with me. I'm not screwing with you, but why are you mad? And everybody's laughing. And he slams the door and walks out. And then the next time he comes blowing in, he's like, why are you pissed off? Why'd you slam the door? Hey, I don't have time for this. Well, what do you have time for? Can I help? Do you need support? How does your day get brighter? In the midst of helping kill people and save people. That's right.
Gunner, you guys drove me to that.
Gunner's pissed off.
I had to go out and
doesn't have time for any of this, but that doesn't mean we're not going to do it. Oh, okay. All right. So tell us about, what do you like? How many years have you been? How many years? When did you become officially a recruit, and do you have a uniform?
Yes.
How long have you been a recruit?
We finished March, April, like just recently, June, July.
So you've been hiding this since June that you've been a recruit?
I'm not hiding anything.
It sounds like you have been. If you've been it since June, we talk almost every day and you don't say anything, what would you call that? Concealing?
I would call concealing. No, not concealing. I mean, because it really never was...
hidden. It was in plain sight. I chose not to talk about it. That's concealment.
See... You don't have to look through the microscope.
Were you afraid you were going to wash out, and then if you told us, and then you washed out of the program, that you'd be embarrassed?
See, now I'm really... No, it's called regretting. Like, right now, I'm regretting...
Why?
Because I know how this goes. Ever putting this in front of you, because nothing can just be simple.
I'm curious. I'm asking questions.
No, curious people don't act like you.
So you've been
more like a condescending.
No, I'm curious. So You've been a recruit since June, and how often do you go to boot camp?
I don't go through boot camp.
What do you call the training that recruits go through?
You just go through there's just training. So you just keep going out. Now you learn. Actually, I did tell you this because I told you the hardest thing for me to learn is the police alphabet. Because they call it the phonetic alphabet, and I corrected them. No, that's not the phonetic alphabet. The phonetic alphabet is the military alphabet. You guys do not do that.
What are the major differences? Colleen just learned.
Words? The only ones that transform over are X-Ray and Victor.
What?
Yeah, Adam, Boy, Charles. That, you know, David, Edward.
Why would they have their own?
Why do they have their own?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Colleen,
but
so
it's too late for that.
Yeah, Colleen was so fired up. She was in one of her, I don't know, classes. She had she's taking a test today on the phonetic alphabet. They use the military alphabet and military time. She's like, Dad, I'm gonna crush this. She said, I know the answers to all these questions. I love it. And then so we're driving someplace, and she said, and so you know, the teacher kept calling on me because. Because I was the only one that was putting my hand up, and he finally said, how do you know all this stuff, right? And so we're driving, and she's sitting next to me, right, in the passenger seat, her hair in a ponytail, and she said, so I told him my dad was in the military. And so I grabbed her by the ponytail, right, and I pulled her head over. I said, you said what? She said, I said you were in the military. I said, I wasn't in the military. She said, oh. I screwed that up. I said, don't ever do that again. Do you understand?
Who said that?
My daughter.
Oh.
I was in the
military. You said that to her?
Yeah, I was in the military.
What? Come on. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, military.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't wish ever. I had it that easy.
I don't ever.
I was in the Marine Corps.
Exactly. That's like Mike. Yeah, I'm in the Coast Guard. Mike's a little bit of trivia.
Casually correct people when they say that, oh, you served in the military. No, not really. I served in the Marine Corps.
I know.
And they're like, they look at me like, why is he being an asshole? Because you don't know what I'm talking about. There's a difference. There's the military, and then there's the Marine Corps.
Exacto mundo, my friend. Can you say the whole alphabet now?
Yeah, I mean, I can. Yes.
Okay, say it. Do the police alphabet for us. Go.
I can't do it on command like that. I just told you. Adam, Boy, Charles, David, Edward. I'd have to look at the whole. Through the process.
F is it Foxtrot?
No. Frank.
G.
George.
H.
Henry.
I.
Ida.
J.
But Ida, J. Don't say that because Ida was original, the World War II stuff, the Abel Baker,
Right.
And Ida was, so okay. Don't scoff at that. Stop at that.
I don't like
that. That's actually an original one.
I like India. Okay, I'll accept that.
Ida? Yeah, yep,
I accept Ida. So there was, I was doing sports up in North Dakota, and this girl who went on to be a track star at the University of Kansas was running track for Roseau, Minnesota, okay? And I saw her picture on the front of the paper, and then I saw her run later. But she's a beautiful, you know, Minnesota, blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. And her name, right? Her name? Ida. You don't see that name.
Oh, an old Minnesota. Like a,
right. Yeah. Named after her grandma, Ida. Yeah. Ida May something. And, all right, India J.
John.
John?
John.
Whoa. Okay. K.
King.
L.
Lincoln.
What?
Lincoln. President Lincoln.
Lupe? Lincoln. Okay. Lincoln. L. M.
Mary. I'm upset by that one because we took Mike out of it, but
yeah.
I'll get
N. Ruh-roh.
Nancy. Nora. I'm sorry.
Nora.
I always think of Nancy.
A little weak on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
There's a couple that are so ocean.
P?
What? Huh?
Ocean stupid. P? Oh. Why, so it's names of everything, and then we go ocean?
B. Yeah, no, I know. I should have said
that. Like, what is, like come what? On. What, was somebody drunk? A bunch of drunk cops putting this together? O, so O's ocean. P?
O.
Q?
Queen. King, got a queen and king. I don't know why.
Yeah. R?
Robert.
S?
Sam.
T?
T?
T. Tango.
Yeah, don't do that. See, that's what...
I mess up your brain? I say tango, then you go to military alphabet, and then you try to fight back to cop alphabet?
Which one?
What are you smacking on something? Stop it.
I'm not. It's my wife making noise in the back, snapping upward. I told her.
Why is she home from work? Because she misses you and wants to see you?
No, she doesn't work on Fridays.
Oh.
Those high paid
government jobs. Unbelievable.
Focus.
Where are we? You couldn't do it. I said...
Tom?
What comes after T in the
Sam? Outfit? We did Sam, Tom.
You.
Union. That one's tough. Yeah.
V.
That's Victor. That one changed. That one stayed the same.
W.
God.
Whiskey.
No. See, you did it again. God dang it. Threw me off. That one always screws me up, too. W is... Man, if he's listening right now, he's like, come on. But, I can't remember now.
You're washing out as a recruit.
Yeah, I know.
X.
X-ray. That one's...
Y. Hard.
Young. Yeah, that one's kind of crazy.
Z.
Zebra. But see, that's an old one. That's fine, too.
Yeah, I know. Zebra, I'm okay with. What, okay, spell Muhammad in the cop alphabet.
I can't do that. But I, you know, it's like...
I can do it. I can do it. Listen, Mike, uniform, hotel, alpha, Mike, alpha, delta. I can spell Muhammad in my sleep phonetically because I heard it so many fucking times.
But it's hard to do that for 31 years and then change, you know?
What difference does it make if you say use the military? Look, guys, I got emergency. I got a 1570 going on right now. The guy's name is Larry. Lima, Alpha, Romeo, Yankee. He's the guy that's in the car accident, and I'm helping out. Like, when it starts going fast, you're not going to be able to go, Lima, you're like, listen, assholes, here it is. Lima, Alpha, Romeo, Yankee, Space, Oscar, Lima, Sierra, Echo, Space. November, Larry Olson. Yeah. Mike. Hey, recruit. You're on probation.
This is not how the military guys talk, by the way. So people are listening right now. Don't go like, oh, that's interesting.
It's hard. Let me tell you, because your brain's wired a certain way to do that. And it's just a no-brainer. It becomes literally a no-brainer. Now you got to rewire your brain to a different alphabet. Okay. I don't know what's getting slammed in the kitchen, but you guys need to get your shit together. Why is your wife throwing shit around?
That's
her, man. She's making a lot of noise.
No,
that was me. I just dropped the... So I have a reserve sign in my drawer.
Reserve sign for what?
From a table from a restaurant. You know how they put those signs on the table that says reserve?
Yeah. You stole one?
No, I took it.
Oh, because there's a big difference between taking something and stealing something.
Yes.
I have a reserve sign.
Yeah.
It's sitting in here. It's from my It's from my nephew's funeral.
Well, I'm going to start using it and put it here on the computer so it's reserved for me. Well, I'm going to start carrying it everywhere and put it everywhere, like on the sofa where I'm going to lay. Like my daughter lays on my side of the sofa. I'm going to put it on there, reserved.
Do you think they'll respect that?
Come on, you know them. You think they'll respect my reserve sign?
No, I think they'll throw it across the room.
No, it's metal. They wouldn't throw it across the room, but they would get rid of it. That's for sure.
They would throw it on the floor, but they would get a kick out of it. Especially, when you can walk up and say, why are you sitting there? And they'll say, because I wanted to watch TV. And then you'll say, did you not see my reserved sign?
Yeah. So back to,
Hold on. Let me read you an email. I think this, okay, there's a whole bunch of emails, okay, but let me read you the first one. Mac, as a Red Sox fan, I know how you're working. I know how you're working, and I just want to know, I want you to know I despise you for it, because I'm starting to worry. Last night, the Red Sox were winning 3-1 in the eighth inning. They gave up 2 runs, the game was tied, going to the bottom of the eighth. With 2 outs and a runner at second base, a routine, quote-unquote, can of corn pop-up got hit into the infield. The Toronto second baseman dropped it. Run scores, Red Sox win 4-3. It's happening too much. Thank you for seed planting.
No, it's done. It's over with, boys and girls. The Red Sox are not going to go into the second. They're going to the series. They're going to win the pennant. I mean, but that's as far as they're going to get, man. It's over with. I mean, you look at them, dude.
Too much.
They're at 101 games.
With 10 and a half games back. The team with the second best record in baseball is 10 and a half games back.
And shit, even the Orioles, who's bottom, isn't the worst in the league, and they're 58 games back.
Yeah. So, and yesterday, when I saw that, I said, look, it's just more evidence. This cannot. Yeah. God at some point is going to right the ship. Nobody but Secretary goes wire to wire.
No, this is not going to happen again. Okay. Not like this.
All right. And
that's why I'm like, this is from.
Hey, and this one is from your commanding officer, your OPSO, so stand at the position of attention when I read this. Heading into my meeting, oh my God, you tore it me up. Kind of like how Mike interjected in my PowerPoint presentation and training. What the fuck, man? Just sit there and listen. You can't do that?
I'm sorry. Okay? I'm wired this way.
Mac, advice well taken. Thanks. Now, let me tell you, if you don't do that, okay, and you allow him, you have no idea what you're doing to your organization. Okay?
Yeah, right.
Why do you guys call that guy commanding general? Because he told us to? Weakness, really? And I haven't.
I never did that. Don't lie now. Don't stretch it.
Weakness, really? And I haven't even met you in person. Let me know when you get to Granbury next.
Don't start fabricating. I never had anybody call me commanding general.
I'm the head of the Pineapalian organization. That's why I have this pineapple thing on my collar.
And you know as well as I do, everything I did was for the better of the organization.
That's right. Everything was for the better. Hey,
and
man.
If you were in the way and you weren't for the better of the organization, yes, then you got pushed away like a plow.
Well, Mike's philosophy is similar to Colonel Ripley's. There's 2 seats on this train. One on it and one under it. Decide which seat you want to be on.
That's right. That's and I will not be afraid to put you under it.
Exactly. And if you think because he's being nice to you that you won't get run over, you need to rethink that. Hey, Mac, unfortunately, I have to go. I'm going to miss the rest of the Gunner's BS session. Damn, he's good, though. Be well. It's Vacaville, man. This is another one from your operations officer, so get back in the position of attention. I'll catch up on the podcast and respond next week. You guys have a special kind of relationship, LOL. Yeah, we do. We do have a special relationship. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
It's based on
high level of tolerance.
Based on mutual respect and admiration. You can tell that. Here's one more email. Hey, Mac.
It's not really. It's a lot of extra given for what
leave it alone.
He's not news. Yeah.
Leave it alone. Okay. Leave it alone. Okay. Here's a gun question. Mac, I know that he's called Gunner and he knows a lot about guns, and I've heard you do gun talk, which I like. You guys should probably do more of that. I have a gun question.
Yes, what's your question?
I am a bow hunter, and I'm looking at buying more complex bows. What are the key elements of a bow in terms of purchasing a nicer one than my entry-level bow that I should look at, or is it even necessary that I purchase a more complex bow than my entry-level bow? Whoa, bow talk.
Okay, does he want...
He doesn't say. That's
does
it.
Does he want sarcastic Gunner today?
No. You could be sarcastic after you answer the question.
Okay. I'm not a big bow guy. Because this is gun talk, not bow talk.
Or bow talk. We do that too.
Yeah, we'll talk about anything. You know, so I'm not a big... Again, if you want to do something different, shake it up, go with the recurve bow.
Explain what that is. You did it?
Well, okay, so a compound bow uses pulleys and, you know, in different things. So your draw time is shorter. So and you can actually, the pounds would be still the same, but your draw time is reduced and your power is probably the same too. A modern recurve can be strong, you know, with probably, I don't know, 60, 70 pounds of pull. But the recurve is going to have a lot harder draw. And you're not going to be able, like a compound bow, man, you lock it back, you can hold it there all day long. Because the pulleys, it's a pulley system. Whereas the recurve, it's just a regular bow. Go with the recurve bow. Try the recurve bow and see if you don't. But you know, to me, that's like as close to the original kind of hunting you can get.
Well, as a matter of fact, that is as close to the original hunting as you can get. Yes.
Yeah, well, stones and drop it long.
We're not going to go slingshot and David and Goliath, okay? But other than slingshots and David and Goliath, the bow is the first weapon of the predator, right? Nobody was eating beef.
No,
well, maybe they
no,
ate
that's
road,
not true.
Maybe they ate roadkill. What was the first weapon?
Was the stick in the stick? What's that thing called? Attila?
What? The stick in the stick?
Yeah, it's the stick in the stick, man. That's the way it's two sticks. One is curved. I know how to make one, but I forget the name of it. It starts with an A. Atel? It's been so long.
Since you used one?
No, since I was, well, we all had to make one. It was part of the survival stuff.
First weapons on Earth. First atomic bomb. List of weapons. Okay, I'm going to give you a quiz. Oh, I don't think it goes back that far.
What is that? What are you looking at?
Well, they give me a list of firearms, flamethrowers, aircraft. I want list of weapons by conflict. I don't want that. I want, well, medieval weapons, but we don't, I don't want that.
No, no, no. See, now you're going, yeah, gun timelines and stuff like that. You don't want your gun.
Yeah, I don't. I want, like, sticks and stones and slingshots. What is the oldest weapon? Whoa.
The oldest weapon.
You're a gunner. Don't you think you should know this? I guess.
Well, they didn't have gunners back then, but yeah. It would, like I said, it's got to be from Africa.
It's a stick.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Well, so what's the name of it? Not a spear.
The oldest weapon is circa 400 B.C. No.
It's what?
It's a spear? It says 400,000 B.C. Were there even humans? Who was carrying these? Monkeys?
So stones, throwing stones, like David and Goliath, you know, using stones, and spears were the first. But then, I think it was in Australia where they used
Germany
the spear, and they figured out how to make it go faster because they used it as mechanical arms. So if you've ever seen one, it's kind of like your elbow. When you put your hand back, it's the same process, the mechanical joint that takes place in your elbow.
They had a joint on it?
So they know where the centrifugal force actually propels the projectile faster. And I'm trying to think, it wasn't the Byzantine Empire, because by that time they had swords.
Yeah, Byzantine, that was a long time ago. That was well after. This says the oldest weapon, and it looks like it's a long piece of metal, and each end is pointed. Four wooden spears found in Schlangen, Germany, by Hartmann Thiem in 1995, along with stone tools and the butchered remains of about 20 horses, are thought to date from 400,000 B.C. They are the oldest human-made wooden artifacts, as well as the oldest weapons ever found, which is a spear. Three of them were probably manufactured as projectile weapons because the weight and tapered point is at the front of the spear, making it fly straight in flight, similar to the design of modern javelins. The fourth spear, see, they were smart, man. The fourth spear is shorter with points at both ends and is thought to be a thrusting spear or a throwing stick. One of the horse's remains found with the spears included a pelvis that still had a spear sticking out of it.
Hmm.
Somebody must have interrupted the, maybe a giant or something interrupted the killing of the horses. Why were they killing the horses? They were going to eat the horses?
ATL, ATL, Attle.
Attle?
Attle. Lattle. The word is pronounced at lattle or at. So it's A-T-L, A-T-L. That's the oldest weapon. There's actually an association, a world association. Now, looking at a picture of this, they're a bunch of nerds. I mean, seriously, they are the biggest group of nerds I've ever seen that were outside of like a Comic-Con.
Is it A-T-L?
There. I just shared it with you. Do you see it?
It's loading right now. I'm looking at it right now.
Tell me those aren't nerds.
They're it's scary. it's that guy. It's the same Comic-Con kind of people.
Nerd power in that picture is
off the hook.
I mean, they could just throw on Star Wars t-shirts or Star Trek t-shirts and they fit right. I mean, come on. Look at these guys.
And they're from Iowa. You don't like
there's a whole
Iowa.
Lot of people in Iowa.
Yeah, and Sergeant Major Zickenfuss, Iowa. Mac, you know what Iowa stands for? No, Sergeant Major, what? Idiots out wandering around. Yeah, that's a quote. That's a quote. How to make an addle.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Are you going to join the club?
I'm probably not. I hope that doesn't disappoint you.
Well, I would tell you to get some neck beard going on, and then you could be right in that group.
The,
I'm a member.
Yeah, I'm a member. I got a neck beard. The And so neckbeards. So you had the addle and the spear.
The addle, the spear, the rock.
The rock. Those were, you know, your primary fighting tools. Yeah, there you have it.
The WAA, the World Addle Association.
Come on.
I'm looking right at it, man.
I know. Look, and there's probably, can you imagine how excited those people were when they found each other? Nobody will ever speak to me. And now I've got all these friends. It's awesome.
And they all understand.
They all understand. They all get me. Finally. Yeah. Finally.
They sit around and they're like, somebody, okay, I'm going to throw a porcelain addle at your wooden addle, and let me roll the dice on, figure out what kind of, all right, I got a 0.373% hit percentage, and now I got to do a damage roll. Yeah. See how that works. And these guys are serious.
And then it all changes in the Bronze Age, or when people start
swords,
yeah,
people arrows, start, yeah,
yeah, swords and metal tip arrows. Before that, right, arrows were tipped with some kind of rock that you could fashion into a tip, and those were like the bat. Oh, those are those guys with the crazy tips on their arrows. Oh, let's get out of here. We only got wood. Those guys, man, they got.
Well, then they started using flint and or obsidian. You know, the glass, right. Like a chip it.
Yeah, they got those.
And make a blade, and then they put that into wood. I mean, they're using shark's teeth. You know, you see a lot of that from, like, the South Pacific tribes, and they would take shark's teeth and ring a club. You know, and like, oh, my God, I hate to get by that thing.
That would hurt. Ow!
Yeah.
I love doing that when somebody gets... We'll be watching a movie. Yeah, when you're watching a movie with your family and it's all quiet and then somebody gets blowed up or something and you're sitting there and you're like, ow.
Laughing. The tribe that had the horse teeth clubs, yeah, versus the tribe that had the shark's teeth clubs, who's going to win? The shark's teeth club. So the guys are coming back and they're like, okay, idiot. Hey, Dan, you said these horse teeth were going to work wonders.
We got our asses
beat. We got out clubbed by the shark's teeth club. You know, oh, horse teeth, my ass. We need to get some shark teeth.
No kidding. Yeah. And they are the ones that ruled the.
Yeah, and then he comes up with, I got an idea. Let's get bird beaks and make bird beak clubs. You know, that's how this stuff comes up, man.
Yeah. And then the tribe, you know, right, the strongest tribe dominates the other tribe, and then it spreads, right? And then you bump up against somebody who's done something else crazy, who they've got longer the spears that we would call pikes, or...
I would have done a great job back in those days.
You would have been that guy, and the king would have loved you, right?
Yeah. And then I would have overthrown the king.
No, you're not much of an overthrow guy.
If I can't tolerate you anymore, you're going away.
I know, but I think that you would more like talk his prince into killing him, and then because that way, if it all went wrong, you could say,
"Yeah, I got a scapegoat."
Yeah, I'm like, hey, that guy lost his mind.
Hey. I'm with you guys. It's that guy right there.
Let me tell you, and if the longer we let him live, right. Right. The longer we let him live, the worse it's going to get. We need to kill him now.
You guys. Hey, I'm not telling you how to do your business.
He told me to do it. See what I mean? Here we go. Give me the spear.
I'm the blame game, just like I told you.
And then he's bleeding out, and Mike's got his foot in the guy's mouth.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'd have my hand over his mouth, and I'd be whispering in his ear.
No, but he needs to know. Where's your sister? Come here, princess. I mean, my queen, there you have it. And then Mike goes and he runs his little organized crime syndicate behind it. That's what I think you would do. You'd be good at it. No, you would have been. Your love of weapons and, hey, let's go. You'd be down, like, melting things and, like, hey, you know, if we heat this, you know, we really get this fire hot underneath the rock and then we put this kind of stuff in there, it all melts.
Yeah.
What's melt mean? Well, watch. When it turns from, like, it to liquid, that's like melting. Did you just make that up? Yeah, I made it up. I'm a linguist. Oh, wow.
I would have probably invented explosives, though. I would have figured that out, I think.
How did explosives get invented?
Saltpeter, man. That is the key to everything back in the day.
Do you remember being on ship and people talking about that? Well, you know they
put it was in our food.
You know they put it in our food. What?
Yeah, like, what?
What? They put saltpeter in our food. Do they?
Yeah
they do. They're like, no, where does this shit come from? Lance Corporal Musselman? No, by that time it'd be like Sergeant Musselman. And you're like, really? Like, come on, sir, it gets boring, man. They believe it, dude. That's the best part. They're pissed. Like, so why, you see somebody who's not a chow, why aren't you a chow? I'm not eating that saltpeter. I'm going to need that. We'll be in port in 48 hours.
It's crazy to think. You know, saltpeter is potassium nitrate. So they found this stuff in caves back in like the 12th century, you know, and who in the right mind, like, hey, let me take some of this and grind it up and then mix it with some bat guano, from a cave and then do this. And then let me put it in the fire and see if that works.
So what do you think happened? It happened by accident. We dug in this cave and we could dig in that cause it was relatively soft and it got a big pile. And then we say, hey, hey, Lucas, come on in here.
From the natural sources, it's batshit.
Do that fire thing you do. Hey, all right. I'll start the fire. Yeah. And then, like, we're all standing in the cave. It's like, this is going to be awesome. It's colder than shit. We're going to light this fire. We're all going to get warm. And then Lucas starts a fire. And then, boom, the whole cave explodes. Everybody's like, whoa. Do you think I wonder if that's the way it started the first time.
Well, no, it was – well, they found it – it's – bat crap that crystallized and became potassium nitrate, and then they extracted it from there, and they did that kind of stuff.
And then after the explosion, they called EOD to do a post-blast analysis, and EOD...
Well, the Chinese didn't care, man. Chinese picked out that real quick, and then they used ash, you know, wood ash, so they needed to carbonate. And then the nitrate.
Yeah, but
and,
how would they know any of this shit? It's all just trial and error?
In the 12th century, dude. 12th century. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that's how long it took to invent explosives? It may never be known with certainty who invented the first explosive.
Right. Well, the Chinese
black powder, which is a mixture of saltpeter, sulfur, and charcoal. The consensus is it originates in China.
Yeah, but now the Arabs, it goes back and forth. So the Arabs will say that they figured it out. So there's kind of the Persian Empire back then.
The Arabs say they invented everything.
I know. That's what
they are. We invented water.
But it's close.
We invented water. Oh, well, why don't you use it to wash? What? At least we don't wipe with toilet paper. Oh, yo, you're cleaner. You use your hand, you nasty. They look down on us because we use toilet paper. Yeah, they think we're unclean. Hello? Exactly.
I'll say it's unclean.
Exactly. The just so everybody knows, not everybody uses toilet paper. Think about it. All right.
Think about it. I mean, it's such a rude, crude, elementary process where you use sulfur. You use charcoal and potassium nitrate. And you mix that together, and you have gunpowder. Not smokeless gunpowder, but gunpowder, nonetheless. You know, so that's – and whoever owned that capability to make large amounts of gunpowder, man, you could rule the world, dude.
Yeah, and just hope it wasn't the people that got hit in the head with the shark tooth club, because as soon as they discovered
No, you mean the worst – tooth clubs, because those guys are stupid.
Those guys are pissed.
You don't want the horse tooth club guys. No, you want the shark tooth guys, because, you know, they're modern, they're thinking.
Yeah, but if the horse tooth people discover it first, somebody's going to pay. They're going to be unhappy. It's like, hey, we need to get a whole bunch of
power. Losing every time, because someone keeps thinking that these flat molar grass-eating animal teeth are working great, and we're getting our ass kicked by the clubs that have meat eater teeth on them because they're sharp and they're daggers. There's something to this. We just don't know what it is.
We need to get all this powder and put it in a barrel. What's a barrel? I don't know. We have to invent it. Go ask the gunner. He'll invent it. Why? He invents everything. Oh, okay. He's Marty McFly. He's back from the future. Do you think if you were Marty McFly that you would have exploited your knowledge? Marty McFly doesn't. He's more concerned about allowing history to, like, just continue to occur.
I'm going to be honest with you. It would be extremely difficult to allow history to take place. I don't think I'm a big believer because we have, you know, the movies or the books and everything. You can't alter history. Sure, why not? Well, then your own existence might be in jeopardy.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but you know what? If it's for the greater good, you know, then I wouldn't know, would I? If my existence wouldn't happen if I did this, then why does it matter?
You're going to change the world and everything. Yeah.
And I'll be gone. Yeah. And I never existed. Fine. Then I don't have to wait for the meteor to take me out.
That's right. I don't have to. None of that happens. But I'm more concerned with the here and now. I'm going to have a good time while I'm here. I'm not going to sit
down. And I'm going to alter the shit out of history.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm going to go back and
I am going to screw history up like you've never seen.
And then I'm going to go back and everything's going to be different. Right? And I'll figure it out. I'll live with it.
Mexico, the world superpower.
Exactly. Exactly. So that way everybody gets to eat Mexican food.
Right. And we have good Mexican food everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
make the women that run Las Cuantas Milpas the head of the Food and Drug Administration. Okay.
Oh, so we have lovely. That would be the national food of the United States would have been the flour tortilla made with lard.
Oh my God! All right, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm driving out tonight with I think it's Pam. From the cops.
Oh.
And then...
Now, can I ask you a question about when you go on the show? This is a non-confrontational, and they have them all over the country.
Well, okay.
Are you armed when you do this?
No, I have my hands and my ingenuity. No, we don't carry handguns. Why?
Just curious.
There's no reason to. It's more a presence. So we assist on mostly accidents.
Have you ever been on a presence patrol?
Are you serious? Seriously just asked me that question.
I think the answer is yes, right?
Come on, man. Oh, we're doing this for the listeners? Okay. Every time we walk outside of the wire, you're on a presence patrol.
Okay. Have you ever?
We wake up in the morning, we go to sleep at night. Okay, then why would you?
Why would you say that? Oh, it's a presence patrol. We don't need to be on every presence patrol.
There actually really are presence patrols, and it's funny because you sit behind this car, and it, by all means, it looks just like a police car, right? And it's kind of funny because you'd be at a light and you look over and there's some lady and she sees you and she puts away her cell phone or she snaps her, puts her seatbelt on. You know, immediately when you're in the area, people are driving better and everything else. So yeah.
You like it.
Maybe.
So do you ever roll down the window?
You save a life.
Do you ever roll down the window and say, I saw you on your cell phone?
No, because we're not a peace officer. Can't stop anybody.
No, but you can't just mess with people. Like I saw that later.
Because then you're taking the whole program and you're throwing it to shit, man. Why would you do that?
Why would you violate the trust
and the confidence and the fidelity and the abilities that were imposed in you by the chief of police to go out and do something like this? Because you're representing the city and him.
So you could have a good time? Hello?
Not about that, man. You're just having fun now.
All right. I have a little bit of an issue with it though. Okay.
Oh, God.
All right, and here's the issue, and it's a legitimate one. You're in a police car. All right.
Yes.
So somebody pulls up and and wants
to, me?
Yeah, wants to do damage to you, and you're gonna kung fu him. You're gonna go.
Someone pulls up to me in the cop car.
You're gonna go Matrix on him.
Okay, no. Listen, don't do this.
You're
gonna ask me a question, but you're not gonna expand on it. Is this gonna go?
What I'm gonna say is you are in a vehicle that when I see it, I automatically assume, unless I read all the writing on your door, that that is a armed police car.
Okay, so and you're gonna do what? Shoot at me?
Maybe.
You're not giving me a deck, okay? So you want to play a scenario? You shoot at me, I'll run you over.
Okay.
All right. Defending myself.
All right.
Okay. And if you miss me, I'm gonna come over there and take the gun and shoot you with it.
Okay. All right.
Shoot at me and see what happens.
I just think when you're in that marked vehicle, unarmed.
I don't think about it. It's actually fun. I like it.
Would you
They were talking about.
Would you recommend?
Someone was talking about. They're like, it's pretty stressful being, doing this or like being out in the middle of the street on 377, which is a busy road, directed traffic and stuff. And I'm like, so we did it one time. Dude, I'm like, this is stressful. I feel comfortable. I'd like to sit in a chair right here in the middle of the road. I like this. This is what I miss. I miss that excitement.
Right.
It's fun.
Right.
But in the interaction with people, most people, you don't have you're not running into complete jackasses. Most people you have interaction with, you're smiling, you're laughing with them. And they're good people.
No, it is that my buddy and I were talking about Kim, who comes on last hour of the show, talks about, the disasters that we've been a part of up in North Dakota, flooding and tornadoes and stuff like that. You know what? And they're always incredible experiences, because after they occur, all you see is the goodness of people, and that's why, and that's what you remember about them, the goodness of people, whether it be bringing clothes or food or bringing their chainsaws and helping people cut down trees that have fallen, mucking out basements, pulling out washers and dryers and things that people had in their basements. You just see the greatness of communities all across the country. But
it shouldn't take a disaster.
It doesn't. It doesn't. When it does.
No, it does.
Well, for some it does.
For some. For some it does. For most. Because, again, why do I hate Christmas so much? Because, imagine how wonderful a place we'd be if every day everybody treated everybody like we do on Christmas.
But I will tell you this. I do believe that there's a different spirit in parts of the country where you need each other, and snow countries like that, kids get raised that when it snows, you have to go down and shovel Mrs. McGillicuddy's driveway and her sidewalk. And you need each other because of the weather. And I think there you grow up and you are a little bit different. In California, I don't need my neighbors. Mm-hmm. But in small town America, rural America, where you have weather that impacts you, you better know your neighbors. You need your neighbors, and your kids grow up different too. So,
I think a community that relies on the community is a better community.
Whoa, so that's pretty deep. Say that again. You said community three times. That was impressive.
Yeah, I know.
That was impressive. So, who knew? Who knew? All right. When are you going to see? Let me tell you, man. Anybody who's ever
and the community needs you.
Anybody who's ever experienced it knows what a wonderful feeling it is to live in a community like that. And again, it's from civilian volunteer patrols to dinners that raise money for people that are suffering from leukemia, that you go there and you see a lot of people in town. All of that is what makes it go. And it's a wonderful experience if you've never had it. That's why, if you can, head to small town America, because it's still alive there. So,
yeah.
Have you seen the Mossad movie yet or no?
No. Hey.
Come on.
No. Why? I'm sorry. Okay. Well, sorry.
Quit teasing and say you're going, then you don't go. It makes me mad.
Hey, just still a note today.
Yes.
James B. Mason. He's an Omaha Beach DDA survivor, passed away yesterday, September 13th. So, you know, God rest his soul. Those guys were, like we say, and we said before, they are the true definition of the selfish sacrifice, you know, the greatest generation, those guys. And, you know, the guys that stormed the beaches of Guadalcanal, the guys that stormed the beaches of Omaha. I mean, dude, I can only imagine. And, you know, now he's with his buddies, you know, in a better place. But, you know, we're losing these real heroes. And it's sad when I see this. And James Mason was he's a Grand Barrier area guy and a D-Day guy. I mean, just a great – again, we've lost – and like I told, it was Kelly Martin that sent me the email and said that he had passed away yesterday. And, you know, and I said – told her back to said, you know, because, you know, we talked, you know, you got to, sometimes it's best not to say anything at all, but I couldn't, and I just said, you know, Kelly, the world was a much better place with men like James in it, and, you know, and it's a true fact. We're losing a generation, and it's getting smaller, and it's sad to see this, and it's like, man, I think I was born way too late.
No, yeah, I've had that feeling myself. But I mean, I think you and I did the math the other day that if you were young at the end of World War II and call that 25, if you were relatively young, you're 98 years old now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you were 20 in you know, in Korea and at 1950, right? you're 88 right now. And so you can see, and even, you know, and so senior guys that were, you know, battalion commanders and above in Vietnam, they're that up in that same area. And so our veterans, even, you know, Vietnam veterans are in their 70s and, so it's, but you know what, Mike, I mean, changed the world, lived great lives and, you know, God bless them. I mean, and I think for you guys like you and I, they have always been, our role models. Like even as a kid, I wanted to be a I wanted to be a baseball player. But when I saw guys who fought for this country, baseball fell to the side. When I'd see them in parades or happen to cross paths with them, I like that guy fought for this country, and that to me was always the holy of holies that guy fought. You know, whether it be Normandy or wherever. They were, to me, those guys were always bigger than life. And I remember, and I've told the story on the show, my daughter invited me, I want to say in 2005, after I'd come home, to her middle school Veterans Day program. And so I went, and you know, if you were a veteran, you got to sit in a certain part. And then they said, you know, veterans that fought in World War II, please stand. Veterans, you know, and they went through everybody. And I got to stand. And then later she came home that day and she said, what'd you think? And I said, I loved it. And she looked at me and she didn't know if I was being serious or not. And she said, are you being serious? And I said, yeah. I said, Colleen, I've looked up to those guys my whole life. And today was the first day that I got to stand with them. It was one of the great thrills of my life.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she said, oh my God. And I said, no. I said, they have always been the biggest heroes in my life. Those guys fought. And it was guys like him. You'd see him marching, 4th of July, you know, Veterans Day parades and all that stuff. And you'd see their pictures and you'd hear that so and so down the street, you know, fought at, in Korea or in Vietnam or something, and you'd always want to talk to him, but you never would. But no, a huge honor, and those guys are just awesome. I met Chuck Lindbergh in East Grand Forks. He's from Grand Forks or East Grand Forks, one of the two. And after the flood, they rededicated the Veterans Monument, and he showed up to be the guest speaker. And I have a guide on here in my for my company guide on, and. His signature's on it, and you know you're meeting he was part of the first flag raising on Iwo Jima. When you see them at the top of the hill, Chuck Lindbergh's a guy who looks like a badass. He's got a flamethrower with him, And he was a stud. And he was pissed because he thought the guys in the first flag raising never got there. This is before the Bradley book, but never got their due. And so got a chance to sit and talk to him. And it's like, I don't know, it's like talking to Babe Ruth. You know, you get a chance to talk to an icon of the Marine Corps. And it's pretty cool, pretty cool. And guys like the guy you're talking about. What's his name, Mike?
Oh, James B. Mace.
Yeah, he, you know, he's in those boats going ashore looking at that symphony of death.
I mean, look at this picture, man. I looked at that, and I'm thinking, you know, again, you look at those pictures, and you're like, man, you know, what an amazing young man. Yeah, and I love those old photos. You know, sit there like that.
They got a whole head full of hair.
Yeah, you know, he's got that pride, stand up straight, back straight. Right. You know.
Oh, and they went off, and you know, but again, that morning, you know, you can't even imagine being, you know, 19 or 20 and looking at the coast and seeing just all that death there and wondering what's going to happen to me today.
Yeah.
And then let alone fight the rest of the year, you know, for the next year in France and then into Germany and all the everything they went through. But God bless them. And then come home and go back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. All right, man. Have a great weekend.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman, the gunner, here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. Yeah, no kidding. They were my no kidding hero of heroes. I would see guys like Yogi Berra and stuff at old timers games, and I knew Yogi Berra was a veteran. And it was always more special to me, the guys who served. So don't touch that dial. Hour one, we talk about the Grinch and how the Grinch suffered from trauma. And then the DOD response to Hurricane Florence, which they're to be commended for. So, and I'm glad to see that the active duty component is being utilized in a capacity that the nation deserves. People around the nation shouldn't be held captive by emergency operations centers that are overwhelmed and leaders that are under incredible duress, right? These things ought to be positioned beforehand. There ought to be federal people that are supporting the region and put these things in motion, right? And not hope that we'll wait till they request it. Shouldn't be like that. So that'll do it on a Friday. That'll do it for the week. The chef joins us too today. Yeah, he talks about wild rice sautéed or cooked in chicken broth. Now, you might be saying, like, Mac, everybody knows about that. I didn't. Wild rice looks kind of scary because it's big. But I'm gonna get his recipe and get the right proportions and fire up my wild rice and see what happens. In terms of Camp Lejeune, the last tweet is 5 hours old from the base. Let me tell you, more interesting than the Camp Lejeune, the base tweet is if you just put in hashtag Camp Lejeune, okay, and then you'll get to see what everybody has to say about it. Here's a woman posted this, all right. Those of you begging the Marines to shut down hashtag Camp Lejeune because of hashtag Hurricane Florence do not know much about Marines. Here's another one. Our schools on base still have school even though Onslow County doesn't. They can all leave, but we can't without our Marines. We are in grave danger, scared, and don't know what to do. That's from somebody else. Here's a mother posted this. Sun in good spirits, power outage, though, at Camp Lejeune. Here's from another wife. Hashtag Camp Lejeune. Those of you bitching that it's not being evacuated, what do you think will happen if the largest Marine Corps base is deserted? Cover your own ass and abandon all the secure information on base? Throw the damn gates open? Fuck it. Why not? Why not? This is the kind of shit that you read. This just makes Mike's discuss argument, right? And somebody else, hey, there's a CNN reporter on Camp Lejeune. So, anyway, again, my prediction is in the next few hours, this thing will get downgraded to a tropical storm. So, all the hysteria, again, right now, winds in Wilmington, 48 miles an hour. Okay? Winds gusting to 100, which means that the official landfall will be near Wrightsville Beach. Wind gusts near the center at 100 miles an hour. Okay, so that means what sustained winds at in the 80s, gusting to 100? So, and again, it's imminently doable. So, it's just amazing. Twitter is absolutely crazy. Everybody in the world can say what they want to say. There's a woman by the name of Lori Freshwater. And so you can, she's written about her mother, her two brothers were all victims of the water contamination there. Yeah. And ironically, her last name is Freshwater. So, interesting. You know, it's an interesting story, I'm not even going to say it. It's about sexual assaults, and what is the highest segment of the military population that is being sexual assaulted. And I'll just say this: it's not heterosexual. What exactly? But I need to do a little research on that because the statistics are kind of interesting. So, have a great day. We'll see you on Monday. On a Friday. All Marine Radio is over and out.